But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody know that the word has validity? That anything you need is in the word.
Welcome to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for some dynamic teaching, preaching, and insight on the word of God that will guide you to your destiny as a believer. At the end of the broadcast, information will be given about their church location and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. Now let's join the Excellence in Ministry broadcast, already in progress.
If the Lord's been good to you, why don't you say amen?
Amen.
If the Lord's been good to you, why don't you say amen?
Bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The book of Jonah, and I'd like for you to look with me at chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And I want to read the whole chapter in its entirety. Don't worry, it's only 10 verses.
Amen.
Jonah chapter 3. A reading from the New King James Version. This is what it says. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." Mm-hmm. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Look again at verse number 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. I want to talk for just a little while tonight from the subject, go to Nineveh. Yes. Let the church say, go to Nineveh.
Go to Nineveh.
Go to Nineveh. I want to say tonight, beloved, that here we sit on this beautiful Wednesday evening. Amen. And I want to say that while we all gather together, that we all have something in common. All of us, everyone in this room has something in common. What is it? You look at us and you would tell that we do not come from the same background. We do not have the same address. We don't have the same height. We don't have the same complexion. We don't have the same weight. We don't have the same educational background or professional background. But one thing that we do have in common is that all of us are sinners.
Amen.
We are all sinners.
Amen.
From the least of us to the greatest of us, we are all sinners. From the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we are all sinners.
Amen.
And the fact of the matter is, not only are we sinners in here, but everyone in the world is a sinner.
Amen.
Black people, white people, sinners. Rich or poor, sinners. Republican or Democrat, sinners. Tall or short, sinners. All are sinners the same. Now, the only difference between the sinners out there and the sinners in here is that some of us have been saved by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the only difference between us sinners and those sinners, is that some of us have been saved by the blood of Jesus. That some of us can claim that we have been saved by God's amazing grace. Anybody have that testimony that you have been saved by grace? So once you come into the awareness that you have been saved by grace, that's unmerited favor, then you recognize that there's nothing that you did to deserve that grace, only that you accepted the gift of the grace of God that has been demonstrated through his son Jesus. And so as we are aware of the fact that we are sinners, it becomes incumbent upon us sinners to tell those sinners of the love of God as it is demonstrated through the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus the Christ. So that they too may be made aware of his love, and they too can become, may become saved as well. We must understand that sin is so pervasive. And as we look around, we are aware of sin. There are all kinds of sin. We can name sins all day and all night. We can end up naming everything that everybody else does but us.
Amen.
We can come up with your sin, and we can come up with my sin, and we can come up with their sin and his sin. But I've come by to say that no matter how much we want to establish that there are degrees of sin, we know there is no such thing as big sin and little sin. That sin is sin.
Amen.
Sin is sin. And because sin is sin, sin remains an unresolved issue unless there is a Savior. Sin remains unresolved unless there is a Savior. So when we come into the knowledge of God, and when we come into the knowledge of his son Jesus, it becomes an imperative that we who are the people of God, that we share with the world what it is that God desires for all of us. It is not just God's desire that he would save the AME Zion Church. It is not God's desire that he would save all black people. It is not God's desire that he would just save all white people, that God would just save all rich people, or God would save all poor people. But it's God's desire that all should be saved and none should be lost. Am I right about it? That God's desire is that all should be saved and none should be lost. And then sometimes we as the church can get on a high horse and we begin to look at ourselves and compliment ourselves about how good we are and how much that we have overcome our sin and how much we don't do what we used to do. We don't go where we used to go. We don't say what we used to say. And then we begin to point at everybody else's sin about how it is that they deserve to go to hell because of what they do. I know they do this. I know they do that. I know the time, the places, and the people, and I know they need to go. They're going to go straight to hell. And it seems sometimes as if we get happy but the fact that somebody is going to hell. We say, well, at least I don't do that. Yeah. Or at least I don't do that. And because this person does the other, then we know they're going to hell. Mm-hmm. And it becomes our habit then to begin to pinpoint who becomes worthy of hell and who then becomes worthy of heaven. So we get so comfortable with our Christian selves and get so comfortable and so cute that we never say a word to somebody else about what it would take for them to also receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Because in our minds, some people deserve heaven and some people don't.
Watch out, preacher.
Such was the case with Jonah. Jonah was given an assignment. Jonah is a minor prophet, and the fact that he's a minor prophet, does that mean that he was any more insignificant than any other prophet? He was just as significant as the other prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of the prophets. It means that their story may be longer, but Jonah's story was just as significant, even though it's only 4 chapters long. And the book of Jonah is a very interesting, intriguing book, and if you go too fast, you just may miss it. But it's a very important book. And if you know the story of the prophecy of Jonah, it's almost a humorous story. But God tells Jonah, the prophet from Amittai, and God one day says to Jonah that I want you to go to Nineveh and cry out to that great city because of their evil ways. And you tell them to straighten up. Or else. And Jonah, because he was aware of the city of Nineveh, had a little attitude. He knew of their ways. He knew of their history. He knew of their habits. He knew of their practices. He knew that the city of Nineveh was this great city, and it was such an important, flourishing city that it even influenced other cities across that world. It was even considered at that time one of the largest cities in the world. And influenced so much of the behavior of the culture. And God sent Jonah to that place, this great city, the rich city, to tell them that they better straighten up and fly right, or else. Because of Jonah's attitude about the activities of Nineveh, he felt that they deserved to get the wrath of God. So instead of going to Nineveh as God instructed him, Jonah decided instead to board a luxury cruise liner and head on to Joppa, which was the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. For instance, if Nineveh was to the north, Jonah went south. If Nineveh was east, Jonah went west, directly against the wishes and will of God. Because he felt if he didn't tell the people of Nineveh, then they would not straighten up and they would get their just due as they deserved it anyway. So there he was now boarding a cruise ship going towards Joppa. And if you read the story, Jonah is now asleep. And while he's asleep, chilling on the cruise liner,
just chilling.
there was a storm that arose. And it was a tumultuous storm, a terrible storm that had arose. And all the crew was shaken by the storm. The sea was restless, and it was, the boat was rocking and reeling, and water was all over the place, and they thought they all were going to perish, and they were surprised because there was no report in the stars that such a storm would exist. And so as they continued to deal with the storm, they came to the conclusion that somebody got their God upset. Who is it that has really got on their God's nerves? Who is it that is causing all this commotion on this ship, and there's somebody who's responsible for this storm. And they cast lots. I don't know what casting lots mean, but whatever it was, it fell on Jonah. And they determined that Jonah was the culprit for this storm. And they asked the question, what have you done to upset your God? And Jonah told them what he did. And they said, well, how can we settle this? So the only way you can calm this storm is that you got to throw me overboard. And at first they looked at that sea and they were concerned about Jonah's life and said, no, we can't throw you overboard. We don't want to kill you. We can't do that. Then that sea started roaring some more, and off the boat Jonah went. Jonah landed in the sea. And when he landed in the sea, he landed at the bottom of the sea and into the mouth of a great fish. Now, I know what you want to say. You want to say, well, Pastor, Jonah fell into the belly of a whale. And we always want to say that it was a whale that swallowed Jonah. But the Bible doesn't say it was a whale. It said that God prepared a great fish. Now, isn't it something that even when we fail God, even when we disobey God, that God still prepares something for us? This was not a whale. This was a designer fish. A fish that God created especially and exclusively for Jonah. And there he was in the belly of this fish for 3 days. Now, what was he doing in the belly of the fish for 3 days? What would you be doing in the belly of the fish for 3 days? He was praying. He prayed, Lord, if you get me out of this fish, Lord, if you deliver me out of this fish, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. What color you want me to wear? How do you want me to stand? How you want me to adjust it? Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. And sure enough, when Jonah got to the place that he repented of his sin and repented of his disobedience, then God spit him out on the land. And then this is where our text pick up, and it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad there's a second time? Aren't you glad that even though you mess up and don't do what God told you to do, even though
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 listeners, get ready for a minute with the doctor.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. The word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Beloved, life as a Christian can be quite an adventure. There are ups, downs, and unexpected turns, and sometimes born-again, redeemed, Holy Spirit-filled Christians fall back into their old sinful ways, which can lead to depression, oppression, and misery. However, here's one thing I know, that the God we serve loves us and forgives us of our transgressions as long as we repent of our sins and get back spiritually on the path of righteousness. And that is a promise from heaven. Please come join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website www.littlerockamezion.org. When you tell God that I want to do it your way now, that God will give you another chance. Anybody glad that you got another chance? That even when you mess up, God does not give up on you. And God will use you.
Yes, sir.
Again.
Yes, it will.
The word came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Verse 3. So Jonah rose. Yes, she did. Second time God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah said, I'm going. Hi ho, hi ho.
Reel it in, Doc.
On his way. Because he found out that, see, I want to pause here parenthetically and say that no matter who you are, no matter who you think you are, no matter how high you think you are, no matter how many titles you got on your job, no matter how many letters you got behind your name, your arms are too short to box with God. You can't run. How you gonna run from God? He tried to run. You can't run from God. God's so high. You can't get over him. God is so wide. You can't get around him. God's so low. You can't get under. You might as well go through the door and do what God had told you to do, the way God told you to do it. And so Jonah makes his way to Nineveh. He arrives at Nineveh, verse 3 says, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, and that Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk.
Yes.
And he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Yes.
Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Jonah shows up at Nineveh, and preaches a sermon that had 8 words.
What did it say, Doc? What did it say? What did it say?
About as short as a sermon you want me to preach. But when he preached, look what happened. The people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. I love this. And all because Jonah went to Nineveh. And I've come by here to tell the church of God that we too are called to go to Nineveh. As you look at this great city, you look at it, this city is a prosperous place. This city is a powerful place. This city is an influential place. It is prominent. It has all kinds of buildings and all kinds of luxuries and libraries and art and everything that you think a city ought to have. But it's everything but a relationship with God. And what ends up happening is that that city was powerful, and there was no other city that could have destroyed them. No other enemy could come against them. But what ultimately ended up happening to Nineveh is that Nineveh was being destroyed not by the forces around it, but it was being destroyed by what was going inside of it. Lord have mercy. I've come by here to say to somebody that we need to understand as we go through this season of Lent that internal strife is much more dangerous than external strife can ever be. That this great city, if you look through history, you can look at every great city that's ever existed, every great nation that's ever existed, and those that no longer exist anymore. That those cities, even if you look at the Empire of Rome, it did not crumble from the outside in. It crumbled from the inside out. And I'm trying to tell you that there is more that the internal strife cannot destroy you quicker than external strife can. Other way around. That is, external strife cannot do you any more harm than internal strife could ever do. That is your internal strife that you can be torn asunder from the inside out before an external strife can ever. There's nothing that people can do to you. There's nothing they can say about you. There's nothing they can throw at you that can harm you worse than what you do to yourself. And so what was going on with the city of Nineveh is that they were being destroyed from the inside out. And God sent Jonah to speak to Nineveh. And look at what happened. So the people of Nineveh believed God. proclaim the fast and put on sackcloth for the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Yes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that's in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? The first thing I'm going to say that the reason why we need to go to Nineveh, that if we go to Nineveh, understand that God has sent us with an assignment, yes, to warn them and to warn ourselves that it's rather than the need to turn around and to get right with God. When Jonah preached the message, first thing that we see here is a powerful confession. Let the church say powerful confession. It says here that the Ninevites believed God. Didn't believe Jonah, they believed God. And the thing that I love about this, or I've come to understand about this text, is that the people of Nineveh were not aware of their sin. They did not know they were doing wrong. They did not have any kind of concept of God. And so it took Jonah to go there and show them God so they can see themselves.
Preach.
You'll never see your sin and yourself until you first see God. And once they saw God, they could see their sin. See, you have to be able to see your sin before you can confess your sin. But you got to see God before you see your sin. And what happens is you get so blinded and so deaf by the culture that you can't hear that what you're doing is wrong. You can't see that what you're doing is wrong because you've been doing it wrong so long that it feels right. But it takes you seeing yourself through the eyes of God to get it right and to come clean. And so once you see your sin, you've got to admit your sin. You got to confess your sin, but you can't confess it unless you see it. And then once you see it, you got to admit that you did it.
Yes.
That's what confession is all about.
Amen.
You got to admit that you did it.
Yes.
You got to admit that you did it in order for God to deal with you about the situation.
Yes.
God can't heal you if you first can't admit that you're sick. God can't make you right until you first admit that you're wrong. God can't strengthen you until you first admit that you're weak. God can't forgive you until you first admit that you got faults.
Yes.
God can't help you until first you admit that you're struggling. God can't give you peace until you first admit that you're confused. And God can't give you joy until you first admit that you have sorrow. We've got to get to the place that we see God and see ourselves and then say, like the people of Nineveh, I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. Let me through the darkness thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I shall not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee and lead me, O Lord, lead me. When you go to Nineveh, the first thing that would happen is there would be a powerful confession. Once Jonah showed the people God, they were able to see themselves. And once they saw themselves, they saw their sin. And once they saw their sin, they repented of their sin and confessed they were sinners in need.
Thank you for tuning in to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and seeking a church home, please feel free to come by our location, 401 North McDowell Street, just minutes from Uptown Charlotte. Our order of services are as follows: 9 a.m. Sunday School, 10 a.m. Morning Service, 12 noon Wednesday Midday Bible Study, and 7 p.m. Evening Bible Study. If you want to know more about what's going on at Little Rock, you can visit us on the web at littlerockamezion.org. Also, if you were blessed by today's message and want to obtain a copy in its entirety, call 704-334-3782. That's 704-334-3782. Little Rock AME Zion Church is a ministry with so much to offer. They have ministries for adults and children, choirs, missions, and outreach that helps inside the church and the community as a whole. And of course, this radio broadcast where God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, the people are edified, faith is fortified, God and ministry is multiplied. Be blessed and tune in next week for the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker on WPZS Praise 100.9 and 92.7 and PraiseCharlotte.com.
Can listen to the word by going to www.praisecharlotte.com. Podcast tab on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, where you will discover podcasts designed to inspire, motivate, and entertain. Praise listeners, log on to www.praisecharlotte.com and click on the podcast tab and hear the word. Also, if your ministry wants to be a part of the Praise Podcast family, here's your opportunity. Slots are available. Call 704-548-7854. That's 704-548-7854.